It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 6 is where we're studying. We're going to begin reading with the 13th verse of chapter 6. And we're going to read all the way to the 14th verse of chapter 7. And so please open your Bibles that you can follow along with me as we continue this wonderful study. Glad that you've joined us today. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. I hope that that was enough time for you to find your place now, because I love the study of the Word of God, and that's the purpose, that's the reason we're here, to grow closer to the Lord Jesus, or maybe to come to know the Lord Jesus if you do not know Him as your Savior. Let's begin now with Genesis chapter 6, verse 13. God said unto Noah, "The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood, room shalt thou make in the ark, shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. This is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, the length of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt make into come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Of the fowls after their kind, of the cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee, to keep them alive. Take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. And the Lord said unto Noah, Come, thou and all thy house unto the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of the beasts that are not clean by two, male and his female. Of fowls also of the air by sevens, male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth, for yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him, into the ark, because of the waters of the flood. Of the clean beasts, and of the beasts that are not clean, of the fowls, and of everything that creepeth upon the earth, there went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, male and female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the 2nd month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the deep, of the great deep, broken up, and the windows of the heaven were opened. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. Let's begin now with prayer as we begin the study today. Father, I thank you that we can come and enjoy this time together. It's so important that we study your word. And we love and enjoy this study of Genesis as we enjoy every book, every word that you have given us. Thank you, Father, that you have allowed us to have this in our possession, that we can know your way and will for our lives, that by reading it, you can direct us with the Holy Spirit, your Spirit, to guide and lead us in the direction we should go. We know your way and your will because of it. And I thank you for that. Now, please, Lord, just show us every little bit, every little part, precept upon precept, little bit upon little bit. That's what we're to do, we're here to do today, is to learn just a little bit more about you that we may serve you in a greater way and bring honor and glory unto you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we looked at these verses of Scripture the last couple of times we've been together, we have found that the end of the earth is coming, the end of all flesh is coming, I'm sorry. Violence through them was great. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And so he has taken all those that were created and were born. The wickedness upon the earth had just continued to become greater each day. And it just got to a place where the Lord had to do something. And it was to the point that the wickedness was so great that the righteousness of God, as it was represented through Noah and Enoch and those through the years, it got to where that their life, I am sure, was in question. God protected them. God cared for them. But it got to a place where that remnant of witness, of testimony, instead of all the world becoming good, becoming righteous because they have come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, instead of that, the world became more and more wicked each day. And people look today and believe that this world is becoming improved and better every day, and it isn't. That's a lie, and that's we're being deceived, because as in Noah's day, so it is today. The world becomes more corrupt every day. Now, the only way that we can come through this and have any peace and joy in it is to know Jesus Christ. And then he can fill you with his power and his strength to where we possess the peace and the joy that God has for us. And so we look at this man Noah and at his family, and we need to understand the conditions that he was living in. And he continued to preach the word of God, and it says in 120 years, yet his days shall be 120 years, back in the third verse. It's for 120 years from the time that this judgment was proclaimed. We continued to get more wicked instead of those, you know, you would think that a multitude or at least some would turn to the coming Messiah, the Lord Jesus. And instead of that, they didn't. They continued to walk after the ways of the world and became more and more corrupt every day. And now we have this man, Noah, and we have a plan, and that plan is not Noah's plan. That plan is not Noah's wife's plan. That plan isn't Noah's son's plan. This plan is God's plan, and the instructions were given to build the ark, and we looked at that. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make it in the ark. Thou shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. This is the fashion which thou shalt make of it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth 50 cubits, and the height 30 cubits. 450 feet by 75 by 45 feet is the size of the ark. We have looked at the window, we've looked at the door, and we just started with the pitch. And I wanted to show you, because you see, the last couple times we've been together, we have talked about how wonderful that this ark, as far as being a place of safety, a place of security. And see, I want you to recognize that as we have these beautiful pictures, that's the same position that we are in Jesus Christ. We are in the position, in when you come by faith to Him, of safety, of security. We are kept by Him. Noah and his sons and Noah's wife and the sons' wives were, and all the animals, everything that went upon the ark, was by the hand of God and the presence of God. Remember, we had spent last time we were together talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. God Himself was inside the ark. He said here in verse 7, come. He's inside, and so He has not only given Noah the design of how to build it, He has not only given him the strength to preach and proclaim God's word, His need of salvation, need to come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, the coming Messiah. All these things were presented and gave Noah the strength to do that. Noah walked by faith, and we read that, and it was each time, each day that he walked closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, as this day of judgment was so close. God's inside. God is the captain of the ship. He is in control, and so that boat, that ark, did not just float aimlessly anywhere. It was controlled, and it landed exactly where God wanted to land because He was the pilot of that ship. And if we follow God's will and way, that's exactly what will happen to our life. We'll be right where we need to be, when we need to be there, in service to Him, bringing honor and glory to Him. Whenever there is something of disaster or problems in our life, God will see fit that we've got enough power and strength to get through it. All these things are a picture and promises that we have of God, and we have a picture here with Noah and the ark. We have the size. We've talked about how safe it is to be in. We've talked about the one door. Anyone can come. There's no dimensions to it. And so, and we'll see once again here in the seventh verse where God shut the door in the seventh chapter. And so it's not something that man has got nothing to do with salvation other than the purpose of coming. Noah had the call to come in. He had to come into the ark to be saved. We, when we hear the call of God, and that will come, first of all, in present us our sin, show us that we're filthy and we need a Savior, and then show us clearly, present to us the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have a decision to make, come by faith to Him or no. And I hope that you do. Noah and his sons and their wives, they had a choice to make, and so did everyone else that heard Noah preach. But we find that when the day come and the door was shut, the only one present was Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their three wives, and the animals that the everything that Noah placed upon the ark was put on there for their safety. All this was done, listened by God, to God by faith, came, built, and listened, preached, and now entered. So all these things, and entered into that place of rest, even though it is a miserable world out there, a disastrous world, a world that was being destroyed, and yet he entered into a place of rest. Did he sit down and put his feet up on the coffee table and says, okay, my work's done, now I'm just going to sit here and ride this out? Not at all. He had to tend to all the animals, and he had to tend to the things of his household. There was much to do, and it's the same way with us. We enter into the rest and the peace, but there's work that needs to be done, and so don't miss that. We've looked at the door, windows on the top. We only to look heavenward. We're not to look at the things of this world and begin to be worried about them. If something disastrous is happening, let's look heavenward, knowing that our Father will care for us if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and I sure hope that you do. We get now down to another place here, and something that we've read many times, but I've not spent any time with, and that is the word pitch. Now, if we look at the size, and we have looked at the 15th, 14th, 15th, and 16th verse, and as we looked at the 14th verse, make thee an ark of gopher wood, rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and thou shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. Now, this gopher wood has been described, too, as like a cypress, a wood that is very weather-worthy and can take care of the weather and the water and protect the occupants inside and very well. So we have that to begin with, and we've talked a little bit about that, not much. But then we also have the rooms. We talked about that, how these places are literally a nest. And I read the verse of Scripture last time, John 14:2, in my Father's house are many mansions and dwelling places, and I go to prepare a place for you. And these places, these rooms, there's a place of rest, a literal nest here. And you think of of something, you know, whatever kind of a livestock it might be, they make a nest, and it's a place where they're warm and they're comfortable and they feel safe, and that's the way we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'll come and follow after Him, walk after His will and way. But something we haven't talked about, and that's His pitch. Thou shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. Now this word pitch is it means like a tar or an asphalt material, and the usual word in the Hebrew language is zepheth, and I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. I will spell it for you. The Hebrew word is zephetheth, but in this verse here of Scripture, in the 14th verse, the word pitch is not that Hebrew word zepheth. It is a different word, kaphar or kophar, whether it's a verb or a noun. That's K-A-P-H-A-R or K-O-P-H-E-R, whether it be a verb or a noun. In this verse here, in verse 14, thou shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. In that verse is the only place that it is used is this kaphar or kophar. That's the only place that is translated to the word pitch. Every place else, that word kaphar or kophar is translated atonement. This is the only place that word is translated to the word pitch. Every place else, it's atonement. And again, the normal word the word in the Hebrew for asphalt or for tar, the material you think of this to be inside and out, is zepheth, Z-E-P-H-E-T-H, zepheth. And so as we look at these different words, I want you to see that here where it is kaphar or kopher, there it is translated to the word pitch, not atonement. Because you see, when we are secure in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are secure because of His precious blood. And when we must have the atonement, the atoning work of Jesus Christ, of His precious blood. You know, if we look to different places of the Scripture, we have enjoyed seeing as Cain and Abel, as they brought their offerings unto the Lord. The problem was with Cain's, it was not God's direction, and it lacked the blood. Abel's was accepted because it was following the Word of God and the will of God, and it had the blood. We have the Passover lamb. As we continue to study through the Word of God, we'll find the Passover lamb is present. And as we look at the Passover lamb here, we will find that it's the blood. We have to have the blood. And when you put you killed the animal and you processed it properly, you prepared it to eat, you ate it properly, and then you did that standing up, if you remember right. But then also you took the blood and you put the blood across the door, on the doorposts and across the lintel. And so it went all the way around. And when that death angel come through Egypt before the Israelites were led out of Egypt, remember when the death angel come, he would pass over if he saw the blood. And you see, that's exactly what happens to us. We've got to have the blood covering us. The ark is no different. It is a place of refuge. It's a place of redemption. It's a place of salvation. And in order for Noah to have salvation, it has got to be by the blood. And right here in this scripture, when you look at that word pitch, that word every place else in the Word of God is translated atonement, the blood of Jesus Christ, the precious precious blood. And so we have looked at Cain and Abel. We've looked at the Passover lamb, and we need to see clearly and enjoy always the need for the blood of Jesus Christ to cover and to take away our sin. And that's a work that had to be done. If you deny the blood, you have no salvation. Because it is through and by the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it all was completed by His blood when He presented that unto His Father in heaven. Don't miss that. Don't miss that sweet part of the Word of God. And right here with Noah, Noah didn't miss it. It was right there. And so as we look through each time, we have wonderful pictures in the Word of God. Let's look to Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for your soul. Look at that, the blood. Now some try to say that means death, that is translated death. It is not. As we look to the Word of God, you'll find that it means and it presents, it stands for the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And yes, when that blood is shed, death is part of that. But it's the precious blood. It's the blood that was presented into the Holy of Holies through the time of the tabernacle and the temple, as Solomon has built the temple now in the study that we're in. Please don't miss these precious words and understand the need to come by faith to Jesus Christ. There is no work that a church can have or you can do that will bring you salvation to your soul except for Jesus Christ and His precious blood. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 9, because in Hebrews chapter 9 we once again have some beautiful verses of Scripture here. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, Hebrews 9, 22, and almost all things are by law purged with blood. Without the shedding of blood is no remission. Purged by the blood. And we've been set free and given salvation because of the blood. Noah has been given salvation because of the pitch. Again, the only place in the Scripture that word is translated pitch. Every place else it's translated atonement. Because you see, this is part of the work of salvation, and it is the atonement for Noah and his family and all those that were upon the ark. Wonderful verse of Scripture as we look through there. Now let's look now as we kind of move through this beautiful story that we have here, this truth of the Word of God. Let's begin once again now up at the 13th verse, and we're going to read to the end of the chapter. And it begins, "And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth." They had a choice, an opportunity to come. "Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make it in the ark. Thou shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. This is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make in the ark, and in it, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life, from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant." Remember, there is always a remnant. and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee, and every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Of the fowls after their kind, of the cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. Take thou unto thee of all the food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Look at that beautiful words there. And we begin all this back in the 8th verse. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And it is wonderful to look at that verse of Scripture. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation. Noah walked with God. That's the 8th and 9th verse. Then we find these directions as they have come through. And now as we come to a close of the 6th chapter, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. And so he began the construction of this ark. He continued to preach God's truth unto these people. That 120 years, as the scripture has here, he continued in the preaching of the truth, awaiting this time of judgment. We find as he not only constructed, did the construction on the ark, he also listened to all the directions as far as those that was to come onto the ark. He not only took care of that, he also then followed the directions perfectly in its construction, because it's God's plan, not ours. We have talked about the blood. You know, never is there the missing of the blood. And so we have the blood, and with this pitch that's within and without. We also have in verse 21 the food. Many think, again, that the animals were just kind of slept the time that they were on the ark. But we find here that he has gathered food for them and himself and his family. And so all that was loaded upon the ark. What a work. What a time for Noah to think of the time and the labor that he went through in preparing this ark and doing it again all by God's direction. So we need to learn. Salvation is God's plan. I don't want you to miss that. Salvation is God's plan. So always look to the Lord Jesus Christ. The only place we can find the Lord Jesus Christ to learn of him is the Word of God. And so you need to go to the Word of God, not some other book, not something that's been added to it. You need to go to the Word of God, search it, and study it. We love studying the truth, and we do it, and we do it repeatedly, whether it be Sunday morning with Sunday school, church, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Tuesday afternoon, with the radio, with the website, all these things. The purpose of that is so that we can fellowship together over God's Word. And I hope that you are taking part in some of them, if not all of them, because you see, that's the only place that you can meet Jesus Christ. Oh, you can meet him, don't have to be in church, and definitely don't have to be in this church. But you must come to know him, and God's Word is the only truth that can guide you to him. I want you to come to Jesus Christ today. I want you to trust in him today. I want you to have the rest. And again, you see here that it is not a physical rest, because Noah was working very hard in constructing this ark and getting everything in it and everybody in it. Very busy time. And yet we find that Noah, he had rest. He'd found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We find earlier in those verses of Scripture, as we read through the 9th verse, Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation. Noah walked with God. Now, all those are statements that tell us that Noah had peace. And Noah had joy in even such a filthy world that he was living in. And isn't it wonderful, as we look at the end of this, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. I want you to see that. So did he. Now, I hope today that you enjoyed this as we look through just a couple of cross-references, Hebrews 9:22, Leviticus 17:11, read back through and got the finish completed here in the sixth chapter. I want to ask you a question. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?